Turn with me to the 15th chapter of the book of John. In verse 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." In John 13:34-35, he said, "A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Jesus gives us a pattern of love. Note emphasis in both of these passages on "as I have loved you." Jesus has given us an example of love that we're to follow. In the first verses of the 13th chapter of the book of John, we find that example. If you note the account in John chapter 13, he says, in verse 15, "I have given you an example that you should do even as I have done." What kind of example was that? That's an example of "even as" love. That's an example of the kind of love that the Lord had when He was here upon this earth. And it's an example of the kind of love that you and I must have if we're going to please Him. Note, He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Underscore the fact in John 13:34, He says, that "a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one for another." Will love one another. And then in verse 35, he tells us that this is the way that men will know that we are his disciples, that we follow in the footsteps of the love that he showed in the 13th chapter of the book of John. You recall the circumstances of John 13. John 11:55 said that they'd gone up to Jerusalem to purify themselves to observe the Passover feast. In the 13th chapter, they are observing the last Passover feast before Jesus Christ will give His life on the cross. Here are the 12 apostles. They are upset with one another over who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, according to Luke 22:24. There was strife among them over who's the greatest. They travel to the upper room. There they're going to observe that Passover feast. They must be purified in order to observe it. There's not one of them that will become a doulos, a servant, a bond slave, and take a towel and a basin of water to wash the feet of the others so that they might be purified and observe that Passover feast. And yet there was one who was willing. Jesus Christ took the towel and basin of water and washed their feet to purify them so that they might observe that last Passover feast. And it's in the midst of that He institutes the Lord's Supper. And the account that we're given in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 grows out of what takes place here in John chapter 13. We read in John 17 Jesus' prayer for unity. He wanted His disciples to remain one. And we're pleading today with the religious world that we all might be one. There's a great deal of discussion today about how we might achieve unity. We need so much to be united. Jesus gave these disciples an example of how this unity might come about. What was going to hold them together in the difficult days that they would face? We're going to see them in the latter chapters of the book of John, or the latter chapters of each of the Gospels, as they faced very difficult times at the foot of the cross. And yet we'll see them as they come back together in Acts chapter 1. And in Acts 2, they stand united preaching the gospel of Christ, and you read the beautiful refrain in Acts 4:32. And the multitude of them were one heart and one soul. What a wonderful description of unity. But how did that come about? How would these men who are divided one from another, there's strife among them, how are they going to be united, as you'll find in the early chapters of the book of Acts? What's going to bond them together? It's the love seen in the 13th chapter of the book of John. The even as love that Jesus commanded them, a new kind and a new quality of love. John 13:34, he said, a new commandment give I to you. The word new is from a Greek word, kainos. It means not in new in point of time. Jesus is not saying, I command you to have a new love right now. And it's a now love. But it's new in its kind and in its quality. It's love that had been unseen before. Jesus was going to present to them a kind of love that they had not seen. And they were to follow in the footsteps of that love. It was a pattern for them. Not only was it a pattern for them, but it is a pattern for us. And the love that you and I ought to have today is the same kind of love that Jesus had for His disciples in the 13th chapter of the book of John. And out of that kind of love will be produced in unity. Note with me some things that John says in the book of John about love. For instance, in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Note the superlative quality of the love of God. God so loved the world. He loved me. He loved me enough that He was willing to give His only Son, that I through Him might live. In John 5:42, He says, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Hear those who are in opposition to the cause of Christ. They're Bible students. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are book, chapter, and verse, folks. But they have a failure in life, and that failure is to apply the Scriptures to themselves. And so He said, they might not come unto me that you might have life. They search the Scriptures. But when they found the Lord in the Scriptures, they would not come unto Him. They refused Him. And Jesus said, you have not the love of God in you. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, He said in verse 17, therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Note, Jesus said, the Father loves me. That's something we all need to think about. God loves me. Not only does God love the world, John 3:16, but He loves me. And then in the 13th chapter of the book of John, we read verses 34 and 35. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Literally, the passage says, loving me, keep my command. When we love the Lord, we're keeping His command. We'll continue to keep them because of the love that we have for it. John 14, verse 21, He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And then in verse 31, He said, but the world may know that I love the Father, even as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. The world knows that we love the Father. And when He gives commandment, we keep those commandments. Then in John 15:9, John said, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love." Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." And then verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." So all of these passages point to the fact that, number one, God loves us. When we realize the love of God, we'll keep His commandments and we'll have love one for another. But I want you to see the pattern of the love of Jesus, and I want us to think this morning and again tonight as time permits, about the pattern of that love and how do I fit in that love. Is the love that I have an even as love? Have I taken the love of Jesus and allowed it to permeate my heart and my life so that I love just like He did? If we're going to be saved on the day of judgment, it'll be because we've taken the love of the Lord and we've allowed the love of the Lord to permeate our hearts and life. Obey the commands of the Lord and to live by His command. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 35, a lawyer came to the Lord tempting Him, and he asked Him, "What's the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment. A second like unto it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The motivation of the keeping of all the commandments of our Lord hangs on loving God and loving one's neighbor. And that's what we'll see in John chapter 13. Let me suggest to you in the first place this morning that the love of Jesus and the love that we're to have is a love that loves those who are unworthy of our love. Think about what's taken place. Jesus has spent 2.5 years with these men trying to mold and to make their character to be like He. And yet, even though He's been with these disciples for 2.5 years, He's taught them, here are men who have not applied the very principles that He's taught to their own life. Ask them about the Jews. They can see the shortcomings in their life. They can see the shortcomings in the lives of others. You just ask one of these disciples about the other disciples. They have no problem with that. But their problem is to see that they too are unworthy of the love of Christ. The easiest thing for me to do is to love someone who is loving and who deserves to be loved. The hardest thing to do is to love the unloving. To love those that are beyond my love. And it's easy for me to excuse myself and say I would love them if. Or to, for some reason, to condition them outside of my love. But that's not the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I follow after the pattern of His love, then I'm going to love beyond the loving. And I'm going to love those who are even unloving. In the book of Matthew, Jesus, in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, talks about that when He says that, Matthew 5:44, that God loves those who are unloving. And we're to do the same. That we're to love our enemies. Here are those who are unloving. If we were going to love conditionally, there's no way we could love our enemies. But our love must be a higher love. It must love those who are unworthy of our love. There's nothing about an enemy to make him worthy of our love. And yet we are to love those who are unworthy of that love. And in verse 45 of Matthew 5, Jesus said, we're to love like God does, and He sends rain on both the just and the unjust. He sends rain on those who are worthy and on those who are unworthy. And then in verse 46, He says, if we love those that love us, what reward do we have? Do not even the publicans the same. And I'm afraid that that's oftentimes our attitude. I love those that love me and are deserving of my love, but the love of Jesus is beyond that. It's a love that loves those who are unworthy. We're studying these marriage enrichment films on Wednesday night, and one thing that's been pointed out the past 2 weeks in our study of those films is that there's a higher kind and quality of love. There's Eros, which is sexual attraction. There's Storge, which is a family affection. There's Phileo, which is a friendship affection. But there's agape love, and that's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here. It's unconditional. The love that the Lord had in the 13th chapter of the book of John was an unconditional love. It loved them in spite of their weaknesses and their frailty. The love that we need in the home is a love that is a love that loves the unworthy. It's not a love that I love you in, but it's a love that I love you in spite of, and that's the kind of love that the Lord had. Think about the unity that was brought about in the second chapter of the book of Acts. That unity came out of a love in spite of, not a conditional love. There's a danger that I love, and the love that we have simply an emotional response or an emotional love. But the love of the Lord in the 13th chapter of the book of John is beyond emotion. Based on emotion, Jesus would have given up on these disciples, realizing that here He is at the foot of the cross, and they're unworthy of His love. They've not learned the lessons that they should have learned. He would have never taken a towel and a basin of water to wash their feet. And yet we, like the Lord, if we're going to pattern our love after His, must love those who are not worthy of our love. And our love must go beyond the weakness and the frailties of man, whether it's in the home or in the church or wherever it might be. We must love those who are unworthy. But in the second place, the pattern of love in the 13th chapter of the book of John, the love of Jesus, was given freely. It was not something that was pressed, but it was a voluntary act on His part, and He gave it freely to the nth degree. John 13:1, the account says, now before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that the hour was come that He should depart out of the world, and the Father, having loved His own, loved them unto the end. He loved them to the utmost degree. He did not place a limit on His love. Jesus didn't say, I'll love you until. But His love was unlimited. And oftentimes the love that we have is a conditional love, a love until. I love you until you burn the biscuit. I love you until you're hard to get along with. I love you until you're unloving. And then when I'm going to quit loving. I don't love you anymore after that. But the love of Jesus was unlimited. Loved them in spite of. That's the kind of love that we must have. That's why John 13:34-35 talks about agape love. If love is simply a combination of an attraction, a friendship, a kinship, then that love is inadequate. The love in spite of, they love unto you. And when there are things that cut against the grain, and there are things that cause us to be unloving, that love will be cut off. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is a love that's freely given and it's unlimited. It never runs out. Think about this occasion. Here's Judas, the one who's going to betray him. And Jesus Christ, with a towel and a basin of water, washing even the feet of Judas himself. And he knew what Judas was going to do. That's a love freely given. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is so broad and so strong that it cannot be cut off even from a Judas. That ought to be an encouragement to me. Because you see, if the Lord had not loved like that, then I'd be beyond His love. Because it was while I was yet in sin that He died for me on the cross, Romans 5 and verse 8. And so it was necessary that He have a love that was unlimited. If I was going to come within the scope of that love and going to be able to be saved, He loved me freely. His love has no limitations. In the third place, as we look at the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, His love was voluntary. It was not pressed. One cannot press the kind of love that will serve like you see in the 13th chapter of the book of John. You can press service, but that service will be short-lived. But when you have service that comes and is motivated out of the kind of love you have in the 13th chapter of the book of John, it will go on and on and on. I don't think there'd ever be a time or occasion when the love of the Lord would have been so short that He wouldn't volunteer. Do you? The love of Jesus was to such an extent that here He saw an opportunity. And He wanted to fulfill that opportunity. And motivated out of love, that's exactly what He did. Listen to the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all knowledge, or all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. The love of Jesus was voluntary. You can't press that. When our service is motivated out of love, there's profit from it. But unless our service is freely given, motivated out of a love for the Lord and a love for us, then that service accomplishes, just like 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, nothing. That it adds up to zero. So we need to serve. We need to serve like the Lord did, serve out of love. But I want you to note in the next place that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ was a love that was active. He didn't just talk about loving the disciples. But here's a love that actively serves them. What about the love that we have? As I love a love that would take a towel and a basin of water and wash feet. Is it active? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus talks about that active love through verse 18. And in verse 18, He said, we love not in word, but in deed and in truth. The kind of love that John 13, 34 and 35 is talking about, that's a new commandment that shows the world that we're the children of God, is a love that actively serves every day of the week. It's interested in other people. It's not a love that says, I love you and doesn't serve. But it's a love that reaches out in the service of others. And that's the kind of love that the Lord had here. Not only that, it's a love that extends beyond all barriers. Here's a love that was not selective. Jesus didn't just pick out the inner circle and wash their feet and leave the others with dirty feet. But He washed the feet of all of them. It did not select one or two or a few. But the love of Jesus extended to all of them to cleanse their feet and to purify them so that they might observe this Passover feast. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, you can say the love of Jesus being not selective in that he goes to a Samaritan woman, one that was beyond the scope of most of the Jews. And he's willing to teach her. He's willing to even serve that Samaritan woman. What about the love that we have? Is it selective? Do we extend that love only to a group or to a few, or is our love beyond the scope? One or two or a few go beyond and love even those who are unloving. Then the love of the Lord Jesus Christ was a love that would extend itself to lowly servants. Think about it. Here's the Lord, willing to take a towel and a basin of water and do the lowliest work. What am I interested in? There are some things that we do in the service of the church that automatically put one before a group or bring publicity. And it's not hard to get people to do that. It's not hard to get people to do those things that are going to call attention to them, but what about those little things that are lowly and are considered to be a small task beyond the scope of any attention? Jesus was willing to extend himself in lowly service. In the book of Psalms, in the 84th Psalm, the account says that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the house of the wicked. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. What David is saying is that I'd do anything in God's house. I would do the very lowliest of service to simply be in the house of God. There was no opportunity that our Lord had that he thought, I'm just too good to do. Here are men who each one should have got the towel and basin of water and washed one another's feet and gladly washed the feet of our Lord, and yet they wouldn't do it. They had looked down their noses at the task that was before them. And to their way of thinking, I'm just too good to perform such a lowly thing. It's beyond me. And yet our Lord thought that there was no task that was too low. There was no opportunity that was too small that he would not seize it. And that's the way it ought to be with us. Our love ought to be active when there's any lowly opportunity to be a servant, a bond slave. I think you'd solve any problems of service that might come up if we'd simply have the love that's even asked, the love of Christ in the 13th chapter of the book of John. A love that would reach out and to see others in a greater perspective and to place oneself down with a towel and a basin of water, willing to say, I'll do what I can, it may be small. But out of a heart filled with love overflowing, I'll serve. And I'll do that. God help us to realize what the Lord said when he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel. Jesus said, loving me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. Out of a heart filled with love, won't you be drawn to the cross this morning in obedience to his word? Believing that Jesus is the Christ, turn from your sins, confess him before this assembly, and be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins as those did in Acts 2 and verse 38 and 41. You can do that same thing this morning while together we stand and while we sing.